Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast Super Bowl Media Week Edition. I'm your host, Sean, stacking that green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Ryan?
Oh, man, how about those Giants?
How about those Giants? Indeed, your Giants, man, they're making another run here.
Yeah, it's awesome. Very unexpected.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird. It was, like, unexpected, but then also they seem to be the dark horse that everyone had picked. Like, it's just kind of weird that everyone was kind of on, well, hey, you never know about these New York Giants. They could make another run, like, 2007?
Yeah, the playoffs were in 2008. It was a 2007
Okay, yeah,
season.
So 2007 season. Now, I was just, they just had on that Super Bowl, the 2007 Super Bowl, the New York Giants against the New England Patriots. And I was thinking about it, like, wow. I mean, if you look at these two teams, I feel like the Patriots have gotten noticeably worse, and the Giants have gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it really is. It's like,
I mean, just from, I think what killed the Patriots partially was they hadn't really seen that game plan. They hadn't seen, you know, four strong defensive linemen coming at them. I don't think they were prepared. And I think just the pressure of going 18-0, I think, kind of got to them. And the Giants were just playing with reckless abandon and really had nothing to lose. You also had Michael Strahan. I don't know if – I mean, the Giants' defensive line is good, but I don't think they have anyone that's quite up to Strahan's level.
They've essentially replaced Strahan with Pierre Paul, who's pretty good. So,
yeah, pretty solid player.
But, yeah, if you look at the two teams, the Patriots had a good defense that year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that defensive backfield that was on that field. It was like, whoa, Rodney Harrison and Asante Samuel. Now they have like Edelman. That's the,
yeah.
Edelman was covering Anquan Boldin in that game.
God, man, it's and the Giants' offense wasn't as good. I mean,
no, yeah, the Giants' passing offense, I think, is. I mean, I don't know. Plaxico Burress was really good that year, but I think they're definitely more balanced. You have, I mean, you got Victor Cruz, Manningham, and Nick. So I think it's a better crop of receivers. And I think Eli Manning is playing much better. He's definitely a much better thrower this season than he was in 2007.
I concur.
All right, Ryan. Well, let's recap the NFC-AFC championship games. First off, we were just talking about the New York Giants went into San Francisco and beat the San Francisco 49ers 20-17. New York Football Giants were getting 2 points, and they did not hit the over, which was at 41.5 points. Oh, man, what to take away from this game? It was an interesting game. It was 10-7 at halftime?
Yep.
Then they just both got 10 points in the second half. It was kind of what we – I don't know. I thought there might have been a little bit more scoring. I had the over here. I didn't think it was going to be crazy over. But it was almost the way it was kind of a game that that people predicted, in the sense that it was smash mouth, not a lot of huge or I mean not a, I guess there were a couple big plays, but not a lot of, you know, flashy scoring.
So frustrating how the only guy that can beat them, they let beat them twice.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as a Giants fan, obviously you're happy with the win. You're happy to move on to the Super Bowl. But the fact that Vernon Davis, their stud tight end, was the guy that they were going to try to get the ball to, the guy that could beat you, and he did twice to basically keep them in that game, and now you're going up against Gronkowski and Hernandez, two tight ends who I think are – I mean, I think Gronkowski's better than Vernon Davis, and Hernandez probably isn't that far behind.
Well, did you see what Gronkowski's dad told the radio station in New England?
Did he say my son had sex with that really hot porno chick, BB Jones?
No, he did not say that. He said my son suffered a high ankle sprain, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I knew he was banged up. I didn't see that – oh, man, now I feel like Belichick might murder Rob Gronkowski's dad.
Yeah, he
Letting accurate injury information get out there, that is not the Belichick
way.
Have you
ever heard Gronkowski talk?
No, does he sound like a retard?
He is insanely retarded. I watched the Inside the NFL highlight, and they had him mic'd up. And after he came back from the injury, he was just like, oh, ready, guys, ready. He kind of sounds like a little bit of a white Shannon Sharp.
Oh, man. Yo, Pop. Yo, this is Shannon Sharp. I'm going to be at the Super Bowl this year.
Just you like know, a mouthful
shame
of
that
marbles.
Tim Tebow and the Broncos aren't here because I would cheer them on. John Elway is not doing right by supporting Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
He is one of the few guys that looks like the team's mascot that he played for.
Maybe that's the key to being a great tight end in the NFL, having
he's
a mouthful of marbles.
Being insanely dumb and not being able to talk.
Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
All right. So from a gambling perspective, nothing too crazy here. I mean,
well, a couple of things came in late. The Giants team total for points was 20. So that field goal in overtime pushed. The second half line was Giants, essentially a adjusted game line of Giants -3. So that pushed. So a lot of pushing, but if you took, you know, most people seem to be on the Giants money line in this game. So.
Now, what was the money line at kickoff, Ryan? I think it got down to like only +110, right?
+105 even. It was not much value if you didn't bet it early in the week.
Yeah, but if you bet it early, you probably could have got it like +120, right?
Yeah, right around there.
Now, here's an interesting thing. The big bet that I was on all week that came in was, of course, the tease. And that was teasing the Giants at the time. Well, actually, no, I think I did a 6.5-point tease. So I teased the Giants to +8.5, and then I teased the New England Patriots down to -0.5. So that was kind of easy money.
It seemed too easy, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it's one of those things that if you look at it, I think the thing, though, is with the teases, the easy money tease that you get burned on is the one where it's like 2 7-point favorites that you both tease down to win. I think if you're going one underdog and one favorite, that's usually – I don't know how it works out, but AFC-NFC championships, it always feels like one underdog wins and then one favorite wins.
Well,
I mean,
to be fair, Sean, you could have teased this any way you wanted and you would have hit, so –
Yeah, that's a rare thing where you could have – yeah, you said – yeah, you're right. You could have teased San Francisco the other way, and you could have teased Baltimore, obviously, the other way.
The only item that would have come in, you could have teased both sides and both over-unders, with the exception of the over for New England didn't come in, even with the tease.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking of doing all four of those and doing Giants, Patriots, and both overs. But, yeah, something gave me second thoughts there. Glad I didn't end up doing that. Patriots, of course, won 23-20. Spread there was -7. They did not cover. Did not look great for the Patriots. Tom Brady seemed kind of off. Joe Flacco, I thought played a pretty strong game. Anquan Boldin that dropped that one in the end zone?
It was Lee Evans.
Lee Evans dropped that one. Lee Evans had more catches in that game than he had all season. Really kind of stepped up. They seem to just basically say, hey, we're going to control Ray Rice. We're going to force Joe Flacco to beat us. And Joe Flacco almost did.
Yeah, it was impressive.
I think if you're a Baltimore fan, you kind of almost have to be impressed with this. Obviously, you're not that high on the game itself. You can't lose a heartbreaking game like that and not be bummed out. But I think you still have to, you still have to take something away from that. And that Joe Flacco kind of looked, he looked pretty good in that game.
Yeah,
and Brady just seemed off. Which, if you're a Giants fan, you think, okay, you're licking your lips. But also, part of me thinks Brady's not gonna. I don't think he's what he was when he was, you know, dialed in 2007 or some of these other years, but I don't see him having two back-to-back subpar games. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
Here's the thing. If you watch the replay of the Super Bowl 42, like I did, they were hitting him, and he looked off in that game too. I mean, he didn't look great in that game. He didn't look great in the Week 9 game. Speaking of which, that's the last time the Patriots lost was against the Giants in Week 9.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's going to – I mean, just like it was in 07, 08, that's going to be the key if the Giants can hit them or not.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be like an important matchup there. And I think kind of a wild card here is the – I was – one thing that jumped out at me in this Baltimore-New England game was the ability of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to run the ball. And they were – I don't know why they almost like went away from that and were felt like they were kind of getting desperate, forcing passes in there when they didn't necessarily have to. I thought they should have stuck to the run game a little bit more. It was working against this Ravens defense, kind of a late resurgence here for a law firm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I wonder if it had anything to do with the Birdman rooting on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah, you're talking about you sent me this article. I think it was on Yahoo. Apparently, Birdman, supposedly his nephew, is Ben Jarvis Greenell. Birdman being the rapper. At first when I saw that and it said Birdman wants to wager $5 million at the Super Bowl, I was like, wait, the guy from the Nuggets? Are they going to have to drug test this guy again? Because $5 million on what Birdman's pulling down, I don't know if his career salary is $5 million.
The more shocking news is that Birdman made like $17 million last year.
Yeah, he's somehow on Forbes' list. That's what I don't understand with rappers.
His record label owns a piece of a lot of rappers, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with rappers. I can never tell, because obviously it's part of the game. You know, you got to act like you got a ton of bling, ton of cash. And I never understand. You hear these stories of like, oh my God, he sold 30 million albums and he only got $1 million and then he leveraged it in this bad real estate deal and lost all his money. And then there are guys like Birdman who, I mean, had like a couple hits, not a household name.
I believe he was part of the Hot Timers, right? Or whatever they were called. Every time I come around the city, bling, bling.
Yeah, that whole South crew. Just like that dirty South rap
Juvenile, guy. Cash Money, man. I think
now, but that would be like if someone told me Juvenile made $17 million this year, wouldn't you be shocked? And I felt like he had more hits than the Birdman.
Well, that's the thing. I think Birdman was the brains behind Cash Money.
Yeah, I guess someone has to be the brains behind that operation.
But yeah, he wants to wager $5 million on the New England Patriots. And when asked why, he said, because Ben Jarvis Greenellis is my nephew. Law firm.
That's gotta be, if the Patriots don't win, that's gotta be awkward around Christmas. Hey, Uncle, how's Uncle Birdman? What's happening? Just sitting there, just like he's stroking his gun, looking at his nephew, thinking of murdering him. I mean, Ryan, I think it would be tough to be able to lay down $5 million legitimately. What do you think?
According to most sources, the M Casino in Henderson, Nevada, it's about 10 to 15 miles south of the Mandalay Bay. They allegedly will take any bet. They are the ones who allegedly took Mayweather's $1.4 million bet on the Broncos earlier in the season. So I guess if you're going to put it anywhere, that's where
he had the Patriots.
Oh,
he won that bet.
Sorry, that's where he allegedly placed that bet. So it sounds like they're the place to go if you're going to make a wager like that.
Yeah, and speaking of rap stars, I love this new trend of rap stars and Floyd Mayweather just placing high-risk bets and then tweeting out their betting slips. I saw that 50 Cent, I guess, made $500,000 on the Giants. He had the Giants in that Giants 49ers game. And then he tweeted out, you know, he was him sitting next to all these stacks of cash. And then I guess some chick tweeted him saying, hey, 50 Cent, if you you want to bet on the Super Bowl, and she goes, if the Giants win, I'll tweet out a picture of my tits. If the Patriots win, you tweet out a picture of your dick. And he said, all right.
Yeah, well, that's more realistic, though, because 50 Cent is worth like hundreds of millions of dollars, isn't he?
Yeah, got that vitamin water,
yeah,
kid.
Yeah.
Got that vitamin water money.
What he used to call him, his Jew unit?
Yeah.
Takes care of his
money. when he was on Howard Stern, he referred to his accountants as the Jew unit. Jew unit. Yeah, I guess when vitamin water was coming out and getting popular, supposedly the thing was they just offered him, instead of, you know, whatever money up front, they just said, hey, we'll offer you 10% of the company. And I guess he ended up selling it for $500 million. That 10% company was
worth. Yeah, no, it got sold for Coke bought vitamin water for like $4 or $5 billion.
Yeah.
So.
And then he used it to seduce Chelsea Handler.
Nice.
All right, Ryan. I've noticed a new trend besides rappers tweeting out betting slips and getting involved in high stakes wagering. The beauty of YouTube now is these fan reaction videos. I don't know if you got to see any of these, but people, obviously, when your team loses, especially a heartbreaking game like the two ones that happened in the AFC and NFC Championship, you're going to react strongly. So I guess, you know, people see their buddy freaking out. They decide to tape it, and it becomes a YouTube sensation. This is a Ravens fan reacting to Billy Cundiff missing that missing the field goal that would have sent it into overtime.
Sweatpants.
That's like the worst luck ever.
Get the fuck out of Baltimore, you fucking piece of shit! You've been unreliable all fucking season! Get the fuck out! Get the fuck out! Get the fuck out of my house right now! I don't want to hear jack shit from any of you! You guys are fucking cocksuckers! Fucking pieces of shit! Oh! Let's cheer for the Patriots because Matt likes the Ravens! Get the fuck out now!
Is that Sam Kennison?
Yeah, I know. He's got that, like, Kennison rage and especially that register. That was really enjoyable. All right, here's another one. This is I love how he's still making points, like, about the game, even though he's freaking out. Billy Cundiff has been unreliable as a kicker all game. Now, this is a 49ers fan just kind of letting go after the – you know, season comes to an unfortunate and tragic ending in overtime.
You know, someone has to win the game.
No!
It's you. It's on you. It's your foot.
Ryan, are you there?
Where?
Oh, okay. It's a,
You're like cut out though for a second.
Okay. Yeah, Skype said it had a trouble connecting. All right, I'll just start the clip over again. I'll just edit this out.
You know, someone has to win the game.
No!
It's you. It's on you. It's your foot.
I'm going to play the hell of a game.
Second NFC Championship game, my second game.
Hell of a game.
That's amazing. You know, I had dreams about this last night. I'm 42, not 31.
I'm not even watching the Super Bowl. I don't care.
All right, Ryan, well, let's keep these crying fan videos going. This is from a few weeks back, a Green Bay Packer girl fan. She is beating herself up over the fact that she wore the wrong outfit to the game.
I'm sorry. I don't know where my hair around is, Julie. I painted my nails and you told me to put the sparkle on it. And they lost! The Packers were supposed to win the Super Bowl!
Casey.
And they didn't because you told me to put the sparkles on my nail!
I'm sorry. Don't cry.
No, it's your fault. You told me to do the sparkles! I told you not to do the sparkles and you told me to do it! It was pretty! I don't care about pretty! I wanted the Packers with the Super Bowl, Megan!
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, that's my favorite part when she yells at her, Megan! I mean, as much as I want to make fun of her, and it is enjoyable making fun of her, I've definitely done the same kind of move where you beat yourself up for wearing the wrong jersey, the wrong attire.
Well, I've actually been thinking about that because I'm
Ryan, you know, a lot of pressure. You're going into the Super Bowl now.
No, I got a playoff beard going, and I'm... It's getting to that point where I kind of want to, you know, shave. It's getting, you know, itchy and shit. And I'm like, well, I can't do that. Wouldn't want to screw up the game.
Now, take us through your mindset as you watch the NFC Championship game, as the game went into overtime. Just take us through your whole kind of mindset of that day.
Well, it starts with, of course, I was over at your house. I cooked up some breakfast sandwiches as usual.
Kept the tradition alive.
Kept that tradition alive. And then, you know, we're watching the game and of course some people are over. Everyone wants to place bets. And I don't know, this Fugazi, I don't know who he was. Some Hollywood hipster decides he wants to bet $20 on the San Francisco 49ers. So that immediately irritates me that I'm like, all right, I'll take your stupid bet. And, so that happens. Then we're watching the game and everything it's kind of a tense game and, you know, it's actually kind of, you know, no one's really talking. Comes to halftime, everything's cool. I got to go smoke a cigarette to calm down. And at that point, I was kind of feeling sick and, I didn't really want to start drinking, but it just happened. Start plowing through the beers.
Yeah. I love Ryan. You realize you weren't playing in the game. Like it was fine for you to get drunk. What were you worried? Just that things would get out of control?
No, I just didn't feel good. And I knew I was going to be really sick if, you know, So cut to later in the game, that awesome play where Kyle Williams decides to let it hit his knee. Giants kind of take control of the game. Niners tie it up. It goes to overtime, and I'm at no point in overtime am I concerned.
Now wait, a quick side note here. Did you see the story about the 7-year-old kid who wrote the letter to Kyle Williams?
No, what did he say? Was it a death threat?
Yes, it was. He said, "I'm going to murder you and your entire family."
Before you tell me about this, there were some hilarious. On Inside the NFL, they actually posted a couple of the death threats he received. Like, "I hope you, your family, and your kids die in your sleep." And they actually posted.
Well, that's. I mean, as far as death threats go, that's pretty harmless. Hoping the guy dies in his sleep. I hope I die in my sleep.
They posted the people's names, like real names, and it's just kind of funny. Like, like you gotta feel like a giant. Like the cops are definitely knocking on their doors, right?
Yeah, yeah, although cops are pretty lazy, I think they probably just assume, no, oh, it's just some guys, you know.
See, now,
talking shit on Twitter.
Normally I would agree with you, but Sean, you remember that Baltimore Ravens San Francisco 49er game we went to 3 years ago where
yes, I do.
One of the Niners fans broke a bottle off and was about to stab some dude in the neck, and you know, the situation got diffused, but
yes, no, yeah, well, I forget, what was it, the Baltimore fan that broke the bottle, or was it
I think it was the Baltimore
fan. It was the 49ers.
Fans. Yeah, it was a 49er fan. Just like, I don't know if you saw the video of the 49er fans, like 20-on-3 beating up the Giants fans.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's weird. San Francisco, you think the stereotype of a San Francisco person is, oh, hey, I'm this liberal, Silicon. Ryan, you know, liberal, Silicon Valley, open sexually kind of a person.
I dabble in cock.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get there, and the sports fans are not that at all. It's these hard-ass cholo dudes from Oakland or, I don't know, or, you know, maybe the meaner streets of San Francisco. And those dudes don't play around. No, I guess this, to get back to the 7-year-old wrote a letter, I guess he saw that Kyle Williams lost, and he was crying, you know, like some of the videos we'd been playing. And he said, yeah, or he was just like, oh my God, Dad, why did he have to fumble? And he's crying. Dad's like, well, if you feel bad, imagine how bad Kyle Williams must feel. And then the kid was like, oh yeah, I should write him a letter. And it was like, dear Kyle Williams, I'm sorry that you fumbled, but you still had a really great season. Signed, David. P.S. You're awesome. You're number one fan. And I feel like if I was the dad, I'd be like, look, I realize you're trying to help this guy out, but let's not bullshit him, all right? You're not his number one fan. He didn't have a great season. He could barely get on the field. He choked. Now you can say, hey, it's not a big deal. You choked, but don't blow smoke up this guy's ass and act like you're a huge fan. I feel like you're teaching the kid a dangerous message here of, oh, hey, you know, if you totally screw up, people are going to overcompensate and say you had a great season. No, he didn't have a great season. I mean, well, how many receptions did Kyle Williams have this year?
He was solid. I think he was a rookie too. I mean, he, you know, rookie or second year player. The thing is, he definitely.
I would temper it and say you had a solid season.
He was a solid player, and honestly, he really only made one mistake. The mistake was when he let the ball hit his knee. The other play would have. I mean, that could have happened to anyone. It was a wet ball, and it got stripped. You know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, that kind of just continues the Giants' run of just getting crazy luck everything work out for
just
them.
Just like the media said, you know, the Packers laid down and let the Giants beat them, and now the 49ers laid down and let them beat them.
And speaking of you're talking about the Inside the NFL, they also had a LT segment you're talking about?
Yeah, no, he more or less – so they more or less had this awkward segment where they asked him about his prostitution charges, where I guess he got 6 months or 6 years of probation. And yeah, he more or less said, he didn't ever say he was sorry. He kind of blamed him on the fact that there's more media outlets now and you have to be careful with what you do in public. And, he did say he felt sorry for the girl and his wife and his kids. But he didn't really say he was sorry for what he did. He kind of beat around the bush. It was really amusing. And he also pointed out that, he found that life was much more difficult than football. Which,
yeah,
I don't know. It's funny because
like I said,
LT's the man, and it's like, who can, at the end of the day, it's like, he kept bringing up how his wife reminds him every day that he cheated on her. But at the end of the day, his wife was the same woman who got mad at the media and the cops saying, what was he supposed to do, card the prostitute?
Yeah, I don't know, what LT's marriage involves, and I don't want to offend Mr. Taylor by assuming certain things or certain things don't go on, or certain things are okay or they aren't, but I have a feeling when you marry LT, you kind of know what you're signing up for.
Yeah, of course. He's LT.
No, it is, yeah, I mean, he basically did everything wrong in life and just was really awesome in NFL, and he just kind of got the ultimate pass.
Yeah, Phil Simms told some good stories about how he would leave practice wearing a suit or whatever, and would show up to the meetings the next morning wearing the same exact thing. So I don't think Lawrence Taylor took his football career that seriously. They even told stories that in the meeting room, they'd be watching film, they turn the lights off, and he would just lay down in the front and tell the coaches not to bother him.
That is awesome. Just like, all right, listen, I'm going to be out doing coke and whoring up all night, and when I come back, I'm still the starter. You're not going to discipline me. I'm going to do whatever I want.
He told a great story about how, this is not drug related, but he was playing golf, and he, he had like a they had an 8 p.m. night game. He had a 4 o'clock tee time. And, the group ahead of him was really slow. And, apparently he didn't show up. This was like a random, like, Monday night game or something during one of their Super Bowl runs, I think. And he didn't show up until the game he showed up to the stadium at 8:15. So like, he didn't come into the game until the second quarter. And it was just like, he was like, yeah, Bill and Bill were pretty mad at me.
Yeah. No, but it's LT. It's just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And it is funny when you talk about the 80s, they just laugh off coke use like, it was the 80s. You know, they just saw it as kind of, you know, Red Bull or a cup of coffee.
5-hour energy.
Yeah, exactly. It was what you took to, you didn't want that debilitating crash, so you did tons of coke before the game.
Lawrence Taylor got that 330 feeling all the time.
Yes. He was just in the cubicle listening to Phil Simms talk about game planning, just nodding off. And so, you know, he had to do tons of cocaine to get through it. And he did. And now he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. It is that time of year again where, unfortunately, as gamblers, it's our duty and our responsibility to bet on the 2002 Pro Bowl.
The 2002 Pro Bowl, huh?
Yep.
Are we going back in time with the almanac?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I figure. You know, travel back a little bit and helps the ability to pick games. But we were talking about before gambling off mic. We were talking about our epic All Star bet from last year's NBA All Star game. You want to take us through that, Ren?
Yeah, we were at a bar in Hollywood. We decided, I think you had to go somewhere, so we were just going to watch the first half, but we were watching with friends, and we took the over in the first half of the All-Star game, and, the first quarter, no one could hit a shot. And, you know, I think the over-under was something ridiculous, like 140. And, they start scoring, and it starts getting to the point where, like, okay, it's not over. You know, they just have to score 70 points in the next 6 minutes.
It's funny when you bet on, like, an over-under and you're just constantly doing the math in your head.
So I think it gets to that point where it's like, okay, well, you know, it's kind of realistic. They just have to go 4 points, or I think they had to do 8 points a minute in the last, like, 5 minutes, which is a pretty fast pace. But so they pick it up, and there's a minute left, and they still need 12 points. And, this crazy flurry of events happens. I think, you know, they score 8. Kevin Love then throws this ridiculous inbound for a quick gimme layup to get it to 10 or actually, I think I got to 11. And so we just needed a 2-pointer to win. There was like 2 seconds left. They heave this pass into Dwayne Wade and he throws up like this floater from the free throw line and it goes in. And we just start celebrating, and everyone at this Hollywood bar looks at us like we're completely retarded. Not only do they not care about the game, but it's also an All-Star game. So,
well, it's an All-Star game. It's a first half bet, and it's a first half bet on a total. So, I don't think anyone in that bar had ever bet on a first half, there's probably maybe 10% of those people had bet on a game, you know, a couple of them and their gals, decided to hang out and throw a couple bucks on. So they were pretty surprised that we seemed so invested by that.
Yeah, well, that's Hollywood for you, Sean.
Yep, that's Hollywood, Ryan. All right, speaking of Hollywood, there are some stars here in the 2012 Pro Bowl. You can see it 7 o'clock this Sunday on NBC.
Oh, sweet, NBC.
Yep. And the currently, what are we looking at here, Ryan? The NFC is favored by 4 points with the total coming in at 74.
74. It looks like it's about to move to 74.5. Seems a little low, but, you know, always hard to take overs that high. But, just look at the quarterbacks on the NFC side. I don't see how they don't put up 42 points.
Minimum. All right, let's break it down here by position, see if we can figure it out. For the AFC, starting quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, which I'm surprised he's even taking the field. Filling in for Tom Brady is Andy Dalton, who didn't even look that good in the second half of the season. And lastly, Phillip Rivers, who I would say probably looks the best out of any of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's the best quarterback in the AFC side. Then you go to the NFC, and it just gets ridiculous.
Yeah, you got Aaron Rodgers, then coming in for him, Drew Brees, and then your third quarterback, Cam Newton.
I don't see how you don't take the NFC here.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at quarterbacks, I guess. I mean, we can take a look at running backs here. The NFC has Forte, McCoy, and seemed Marshawn Lynch. Or let's see, yeah, I don't think Frank Gore's playing. And on the AFC, you got Maurice Jones-Drew. Ryan Matthews of San Diego made the Pro Bowl.
What?
And Willis McGahee. So I guess Arian Foster and Ray Rice are out. So I don't know. I think there's a pretty big advantage there, the NFC again. Although running backs in the Pro Bowl aren't a huge factor usually. But I think they could throw to McCoy and Forte out of the backfield. I think that would be a play they're going to be running a decent amount.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's
okay, now this is oh man. Well, here's one advantage for the AFC. Looks like Calvin Johnson won't be playing. He's out. But they still have the NFC still has Roddy White, Greg Jennings, Steve Smith, Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay, that's still pretty good.
And the AFC, you got AJ Green, Mike Wallace, Brandon Marshall, and Vincent Jackson.
I'd say that's still a push though.
Yeah, that's a push.
I'm telling you, all that matters is the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, tight end, Antonio Gates versus Jimmy Graham. It's probably another push. And then, I don't know, no one really cares about the offensive line. Defense, any...
They can only play, like, three coverages. It's like they have to play vanilla defense, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can't really blitz much.
It's just going to be Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees picking them apart.
Yeah, I don't see... Yeah, it's gonna be tough for the AFC to stay in this game, if you ask me, Ryan.
So I highly recommend taking the NFC -4.
Yeah, I feel like that's a solid bet. And now, what do you think in total wise here?
Why not take the over? Look, just based on the offense the NFC is gonna put up, I mean, you know, we might be in a situation where teasing it to NFC +2 over 68 is a great bet.
Yeah, I guess if you're gonna tease it one way or the other, you gotta just tease that over down.
Yeah, my favorite thing here is just the NFC. NFC.
Don't get crazy and bet on the total. I bet on the total of. I took Ryan's advice.
Oh, well, last year.
It might have been last year.
But last year I think the total was like 80 points.
Yeah, well they got crazy towards the end there, but it's you're gonna drive yourself crazy if you're betting on a total in this Pro Bowl here, because you're gonna it's the same way on these in any of these exhibition games where they're, I mean, if you're gonna bet the total, you just gotta take the over. You can't root for an under in an All-Star game because you will go crazy because you see people not guarding each other.
Only in baseball, because the pitchers always are better than the hitters.
That's true. That's one thing where it kind of stands out. Ryan, did you see the expose on T.O.?
Oh, about how he has no money?
Yeah, he has no money. He's no friends.
He is a part owner of the Wichita, like, Flamebirds or whatever, the team he just signed with.
Yeah, he's were they an arena team?
I think they're either Arena League or some other independent football league, and they signed a deal for him to start a wide receiver and like own a quarter of the team.
He's back, man. He's back.
That's crazy.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome if outside of Wichita he just gave one of those press conferences where he's doing his ab workout while answering questions. I think that's one of my favorite moments of all time.
Doing sit-ups.
There's been a lot of great press conference moments, but I think him doing sit-ups while answering questions, that's tough to beat.
I did not know this until right now. Just pulled up his Wikipedia page. You know what Terrell Owens' middle name is?
No.
El Dorado.
No, really?
How did we not know this?
Yeah, wow. And for a guy who like loves nickname and love being flashy, how do you not call it? Yeah, he should have like an endorsement deal with El Dorados. How did that not come out before?
Well, so he's playing for the Allen Wranglers of the Indoor Football League, not even the Arena League. Wow.
What is that? Just in some like guy's finished basement, it just must hanging be. Out. It's an indoor football league.
How did we not know his name was Terrell El Dorado Owens?
That is awesome, El Dorado. That is such a
wow.
That's pretty amazing. All right, Ryan. So let's see. Obviously, you're leaning towards the Giants here. Give us a little forecast on line movement for the Super Bowl. Currently, it's at -3. I think we touched on. Where do you see the closing line coming in at?
Here's the thing. Once enough money comes in to push the line off of 3, I don't see how it stops. I have a feeling that by the time this game kicks off, it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, it does seem like one of those things. Once they get the ball rolling towards a pick 'em, it just ends up there. Because
one, what's the difference between a pick 'em and 2.5, really?
Yeah,
and,
there's
and
not much.
And two, like you were bringing up earlier, I mean, it's hard to really see why the Patriots are even favored.
Yeah, it is tough. I don't know. I think their offenses are kind of similar in their ability to put up points and move the ball. But I think you got to give the defense to the New York Giants. I mean, what do the Patriots have on defense that can really match up to what the Patriots have?
They could slow down the running game, but I just think that the receivers, you're going to have Edelman guarding Victor Cruz or Hakeem Nicks or Manningham. That's just a really bad matchup.
Yeah, I don't see them. I don't see the New England defensive backs being able to slow down the Giants. So I don't know. Unfortunately, maybe I'll have to take the Giants. But I think
The other thing is, people are talking about how the turf's going to help the offenses. The turf's really going to help the Giants pass rush too. I mean, that's they're
yeah, they're going to be
guys.
Quick off the line. I think in the same way that the deciding factor for me taking the Giants over the 49ers, well, especially that tease, that awesome tease that I had set up. But I think the real deciding factor was Ted Ginn Jr. not being in, just because obviously I didn't think that Kyle Williams would fumble twice and that would be a huge story of the game. But just in a close game, you got to kind of factor in the special teams. And I felt like him not being there was a huge factor.
Yeah.
And for this game, I think it kind of – a lot of it depends on Gronkowski's ankle.
Yeah, I mean that's.
So I think if,
that's
I think
not
if,
a. That's a serious injury if he did get a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, if he's got this high ankle sprain and he's not able to kind of be Tom Brady's guy, Gronkowski opens up that offense a lot. He helps get Wes Welker open. He helps get Hernandez open. He does a lot for that team. So, I think if he's hurt, if he's limping around, it's going to be tough.
Weeks after his high ankle sprain, he couldn't move. So,
yeah, and that's a reason to bet against the Patriots.
I mean,
against the AFC.
You watch those replays, and the tackle was the way the ankle like bent was almost identical.
No, high ankle sprains are surprisingly bad, and they take a while to recover. You got 2 weeks now, Ryan. As a Giants fan, Giants are kind of playing hot. They're kind of, they're on a roll here at the end of the season. Are you worried about the bye week here?
No, not really. I mean, I think they, they've been so many
really
of those,
it over.
So many
no.
of those players have been through it before. I mean, they have a lot of play. The Patriots don't have a ton of players from the 07 team. I think the Giants have like 16 or 17 players.
Yeah, but they don't know how to get nervous, those Patriots players. They don't know what to.
Yeah, you're right.
Haven't been there before.
All right, Ryan.
Let's do a. Okay, now will anyone get arrested between now and kickoff?
That's a good point because they'll probably be getting to Indy Monday, I believe, for media day, or for media days are usually Tuesday and Wednesday.
I think Michael Irvin was saying. When he was with the Cowboys, they would get there Sunday, and Jimmy Johnson would say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, kind of those are your days, and then Wednesday, they buckle down.
Okay, so they go, they're gonna, that's the thing is, there aren't any guys on either one of these teams that really stand out as being like the retarded, like, you know, Plaxico Burress types or T.O. types or, you know, I can't even think of a, or the guy for the Raiders who like went crazy and like, do you remember that story a couple of years ago? The offense.
Yeah, no, he just literally had a mental breakdown, right?
So I don't know. I don't see anyone doing that. I mean, who does anyone really stick out to you?
No names are jumping out, but that's almost kind of the fun of that was these Super Bowl stories. It's not usually someone that you think of. It's just some random guy like the dude on the Raiders or someone snaps. I feel like there's always an incident. Whether it's someone just – it could be innocuous, someone just out partying until all hours or – I feel like someone's going to get in a – someone missing curfew, something like that. There's usually something that happens, although Indy, not a crazy party town.
Yeah, it's not like it's Miami or even Arizona or, you know, somewhere warm where they're going to be out at bars. And it's not – you know, I'm sure there will be events, but it's cold and you're going to want to just go back to your room, I would guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess the one – I will say the two guys in the Giants that I would be worried about maybe not getting into trouble but saying something dumb or doing something dumb would be Antrell Roll and Brandon Jacobs, although I like how they're the two, like, designated shit talkers.
Yeah, I haven't seen much come out so far about it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of trash talking going on early.
I saw one thing where Jason Pierre-Paul was quoted as saying that Tom Brady wasn't that special, but, I mean, that's just the media trying to create something with that.
Typical media.
Yeah, I think it should be a good Super Bowl. We'll see. I can't wait to look at the props.
Yeah. And that's what we got coming up next week. We're going to go up and down the Super Bowl, going to give you a pick on every prop we can find. Like you said, last year we had a guy hit on the Gatorade color. So we'll have every prop we can find, including the over-under on the national anthem.
Well, and you know who's singing it, right?
No.
The voluptuous Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, yes.
So they'll have an over-under on weight also.
I'll take 212 on Kelly Clarkson. Oh, is that the minutes of the no. It's her over under on her weight.
I wonder if they'll do over under on arm flaps.
It is tough to be in a commercial and make Chris Berman look slim, but dude. somehow she was able to pull that off.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that next week.
All jokes aside, I love Kelly Clarkson. Can't wait to see her at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, we got a big week coming up ahead. I think this wraps it up for the Sports Gambling Podcast Super Bowl Media Week Edition. And make sure you guys go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can hit the Amazon link there. You can support the show just by clicking through that. You can bookmark it. And anytime you go to Amazon, you can get some NFL gear and, Sports Gambling Podcast gets a little cut of that. So we can, roll out some big bets, throw on some action. We're on Stitcher. Top 20, Ryan, NFL podcast.
Wow.
On Stitcher right now. So look out, world.
Wow.
Now, shout out to one of the sports gambling podcast fans, Maddie Lib. On
Twitter. Oh, nice.
Maddie's been going back. And, yeah, make sure you follow Ryan and I on Twitter. We'll be sending out some tweets during the Super Bowl. Any sort of late movement, late action, we'll keep you posted on that. I'm at Green Room Show. He's at Kramer Centric. Anything else here you want to get to, Ryan?
No, that's pretty much it, man.
All right. For Ryan, Real Money Kramer, I'm Sean Stacking the Green. Let it ride.